First Thessalonians chapter 5. Yesterday we studied verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We spent a lot of time on peace. Now we're going to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, again, we've got exhort. Here it's to urge or to encourage each one of us, the brethren, to warn them that are unruly. Warn just means admonish. The four words, them that are unruly, is one Greek word, aktakos, I can't even say it, aktaktos. It's a military term meaning you're out of step when you're marching. And in Greek society, it's also used for them who don't show up for work or don't show up for an appointment. So the unruliness is... It doesn't necessarily mean our idea of unruly, meaning creating a scene and a riot and stuff. It just means those who are out of step. Out of step with what? Out of step with that which is good. What is good? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 8. We'll start at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, or agape, out of a pure heart, an empty heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now we've seen that a few times. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, we always run into this issue about what is good. And we, you know, there's endless discussions and endless goings on in your mind of what it means to do something that's good. Good is, in the Greek, is agathos. But applied to the doctrine, it means that which benefits the reason we're in existence. It has nothing to do with good as you and I would like to see it. It's that which benefits a plan, that which benefits a purpose. And the only thing we're concerned with is the purpose of God, the formation of a bride, the seeing that all men would see the end of themselves. So what our minds would call good most of the time is evil. Everybody understand that a little bit? Because what we as human beings want something to be good is that which is enhances our self-realization. And that's bad. And anything that enhances that, by definition, even though all the men in the universe say that's good, it's not. What?
Well, you're strengthening that which is evil, giving it power and resource.
Right, because you've named it something to be striven for, striving for.
Yeah.
All right.
This is just swerving out of the way is kind of like the unruly.
Right, that's why we studied it, yeah. They're out of step. Okay, Titus 1. Let's go a few pages to the right. Verse 5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, nor given to filthy lucre. But anyway, the point of there is the unruly issue is what we're studying in verse 6. And it's also repeated, we'll just read all of it. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast that faith, the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. So anyway, unruly again. One more time, go to James chapter 3. No, let's not go there. All right. Verteen continued. Thessalonians. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, and comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort is an interesting word. It's a very long word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. But it means to calm and soothe and console by words. And we comfort the feeble-minded. Feeble-minded is one of those words I don't like. It's like, because the first part of it is holy.
That was a shock.
It's oligosykos. Oligosykos.
And that means comfort?
Oligosykos. No, that means feeble-minded.
Oh, feeble-minded.
It means literally a small soul. but it means despondent, sad, faint-hearted. So comfort, holy.
So it doesn't mean really feeble-minded like we would think feeble-minded. No. It's more of a state of
faint-hearted. Let's look at it in a good sense. Go to Isaiah 57. This is the way they translated it in the Septuagint, so obviously it's not the Greek word for it. Verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The contrite one is here in the Septuagint, but they translated that as the same. So this thing about let's look at it in a bad sense first. Go to Proverbs 18. Everybody should know exactly where all the books of the Bible are by now. Okay, start in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and is a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and honor is humility. And before honor is humility. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. And the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. What a wounded spirit who can bear. And a wounded spirit is this same one for feeble-minded here. So this gives us a little bit of different understanding about maybe who we exhort comfort.